Hallelujah. So we've been talking for a few weeks before I was gone for 2 weeks. We've been talking about spirit ventures where you actually go into the realm of the spirit. And I spent some time talking about praise. Remember? About how every time we come into, we enter into that place of having an interaction with God, which we can call it prayer, that the focus needs to, first of all, get on him and how great he is. Because if there's going to be any faith for him to do something, he needs to be lifted up in praise. And so we found out that, you know, just every time we get ready to talk to God, there needs to be a praise on our lips. In fact, there can always be a praise, because what that does is it lifts our faith up in his presence. Amen? So we've been looking at that for a few weeks, and then my wife spoke on praise and about how you can pray for something, but then the victory comes when you praise. So you can lay hold of on something in prayer, but then you have to lift up praise, because that's what secures it in your heart. Amen. And so she talked about that, and then she talked about having a heart of gratitude last week, and it was so good, because they're married together. Once you believe God for something, gratitude says that I've had faith for it, and it says it's mine. It's not just something that God has, but it's mine. Isn't that wonderful? He's not just a great God somewhere, but he's a God that's done something for us. That when we take hold of it, now we can say, thank you. Just like you do when you go out to eat and they bring you your food and you say, thank you, right? It's sitting there in front of you and you can say, God, you gave me this. Thank you for it. Praise God. And now I'm going to eat it. I'm gonna partake of what you've given me. Amen? Isn't that good? I want to look at something a little bit different today. And I want to challenge us with regard to praise, okay? Because there's some references in the Word of God that we're going to look at that are interesting with regard to this. Because this idea of praise isn't something that God just came up with for us. Did you know that God praises? God praises. You know, everything he asks of us, he demonstrates it for us. He does it better than we can do it. Right? But I was thinking about it today. Man, we sang some really good songs. I love that song that says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Don't you like that? I like it because, you know, it starts up high, you know, and you can just belt it out. And it's like it's not just my soul, it's my spirit. It's like, whoa, he's so worthy of praise, isn't he? And it's just so much fun to just sing that, you know, and then we get into some more slower praise, and we're singing about how holy he is, right? And how great he is, how wonderful he is. But I was thinking about this in regard to the context of what I'm going to look at today. What would we have to go on if God hadn't done anything? I know, that's a deep thought, all right? Would we have anything to praise him about if he had done nothing for us? No, I mean, we have no end of things to praise him for, but it's because of what he's done, isn't it? Right? It's because of who he is, not just who he is, though. Because our praise would be really empty if it was just for a God that never did anything. Can you see that? It'd be like, well, it's nice that he's off somewhere being a wonderful deity somewhere, but what really makes praise great is that he's great for us. Amen? The things he does for us. Amen? All right, so I'm going to make a connection with this with regard to God likes to praise too. He doesn't just expect it of us, but there is action that produces praise from God, okay? All right, so let's go to our first passage here. Just a couple of examples from the Word of God where it actually talks about us receiving praise from God. Now, this sounds a little bit presumptuous, doesn't it? And yet, it's in the Word, and we're going to see that there's, it should be something that we are very concerned about. Because praise is connected to, when God praises us, it doesn't just come with a verbal yay, accolade. It's not just accolade, accolade, accolade. It's not that. When God praises, He honors. And blessings come in the praises of God. But He's kind of like us. Like I just asked about God. Do we praise for nothing? We praise because of what He's done, right? So it kind of goes along with maybe to get the praise of God, something needs to be done on our part. And I know we're in the age of grace. We don't do anything to acquire salvation. But the grace that brings salvation has a purpose to produce things in us. Buddy's scripture that he gave here today, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound. Was that it? That's right. So that in everything, you can abound to every good. Sitting on your hiney? No, to every good work. God has saved us to do stuff. And I think it's really coming against His purpose and His heart to deny that we have a responsibility to do some things. Okay? Now we'll look at what this is, because it's not, we don't get back into just doing stuff to please God out of works alone. But we'll see how He is designed for it. What really pleases God? Do I care if I'm pleasing God? And if so, what is it going to look like? All right? It's critical because our praise of Him enables faith in us. But His praise of us enables honor from Him. Okay? All right, let's look at this. A couple of passages that kind of reinforce that we should actually expect and desire praise from God. Is this kind of different? Kind of hit me different anyway, so I thought, well, I'll just share this, all right? Romans 2:28. For you are not a true Jew just because you are born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks what? Praise where? From God. That means we can actually acquire praise from God. Huh. Not from people. So a lot of times we're worried about what everybody else is thinking, right? In fact, we can imagine what other people are thinking. We can get depressed about that sometimes. But he says, you know, it's not about the things you do. It's about your heart. And so how I saw this is, you know, so when we get our heart where we really care about God, and we're going to see this at the end, man, there's a passage at the end we're going to look at, that when we consider what God has done to redeem us from destruction and to give us new life with Him forever, should do something to your heart where now, I don't want to just be somebody that's been saved. I want to look like it. Yeah. I want to act like it. Right. Amen? Yeah. You know, just a couple of examples real quick. I was just thinking about our our little dog at home. We got a little white dog. And you know, he's a beautiful dog. And he gets praised just for being pretty. You know, oh man, you're just a beautiful dog. But you know when he gets real praise? Is when he actually does something that you told him to do. Now here's the difference. He doesn't know how to do very much. Because we haven't trained him that much. Now, we have this other dog out in the backyard. And the backyard never enters the house. But that dog knows a thing or two because I've trained him. Now, he could learn a lot more if he spent time with the Godfather. But the dog father, I'm sorry. The dog father. He's the dog father. But I have trained him to do some things. That, man, when he does what's right, what does he do? He gets praise because he's doing what I told him to do. It's not just because he's a good dog. It's not because he's good looking. It's because he did something, right? I was thinking about it in another regard. Is like if you put an investment into somebody, and our Broncos have done that for the last several years, and that's why I've been so dismayed in the last few years. Because they invested millions in a player that didn't know how to do anything right, I don't think. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. No. Then he goes up to Pittsburgh and they're winning now. Anyway. The more you invest in something with the purpose of it doing what you want it to do, the less praise they're going to get if they don't do what they're supposed to do. Can you see that? All right? All right, we're talking down this stream. Okay, so there's a praise that we can get from God. Let's go to this next example of this. All right? 1 Peter 1:6. So be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory. It will bring you. What brings you? What is it? Your faith. What is it doing? What are trials? They're challenges to believing God. Let's look at it that way, okay? Because, I mean, they can be something that you're going through. A physical illness. It can be lack. It can be relationship issues. But what is each one of those trials actually doing? It's challenging a promise of God, isn't it? And what is that? That's your faith. Yeah. Because it's talking about trials, but then it says faith, right? Yeah. And it says, if you don't let, and how do you do that? You're going to have to be before God. You're going to have to be aware of what God says about stuff and actually doing something about it, right? Acting like what God said is true, even though you're going through something else. Right. Is that right? Yeah. So you're going to have to be acting like something else is true. And what does it say happens when you do that? It will bring you what? Much praise and glory. I thought God was supposed to get all the praise and the glory. Well, you know what? He wants to give you some. But just like my dog, just like that person you hired to do a job, there's going to have to be some actions. Now, what I'm wanting to do is get around this whole thing of you don't have to do anything anymore. Well, in order to get the praise of God and experience the blessings and the honor of God, there needs to be some doing on our part. Doing is really what Jesus came to fix. Did you know that the world, even today, what's wrong with the world today is what everybody's doing. Is that right? And they don't have enough sense to stop doing it. right? And Jesus came to say, I have a fix for that. I will change your heart, right? It's not going to be about circumcision anymore. It's going to be your heart. I'm going to change your heart, and I'm going to pay a price that is so huge to make that possible. But what is the purpose of it? So you can have a changed heart and keep acting like you did? No. Talk about a multi-million dollar investment here. We better have some results. Can you see that from God's perspective? So I want to see some change. Amen. And boy, howdy, when you do, there's going to be some praise. There's no better praise to get than from God. Amen. Okay. So a couple validations there of praise that will come to us from God. Is that right? All right. I want to give you four examples where God actually praised somebody, okay? Mark 12, 41. Let's see. I'll summarize these, okay? Is that all right? They're here so you can go back and look at them yourself, all right? So remember what Jesus was doing in the temple? He was watching the giving box. Well, God doesn't care. He doesn't care what we give. No. This wasn't just a law thing. This was God. Because what happens, what is seen by what is being given? And this is not condemnation, but it's your heart. Because where your treasure is, your heart is. Is that right? So anyway, so Jesus is actually watching the giving box. And what he's seeing is a whole bunch of really wealthy people making a big deal about giving a lot of money, but really it's not that big portion, that much of a portion of what they actually have. Is that right? And he sees this widow that just has a small amount, but she is sacrificing, right? And look what he says. Let's go down to the 44th verse there. It says, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus. That means they had extra anyway. Is that what we're believing God for? God, I'm just believing that you're going to just prosper me so that I'll finally have enough to give to you. Another example of this really quick was the churches of Macedonia. They got some praise from Paul, because they gave out of their lack. Isn't that interesting? They were actually exalted. They were praised for it. But listen to what he says. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Jesus is actually praising her for what? For giving, but where was the giving coming from? It was coming from her heart as a display of trust in God. Is that right? She wasn't just, this was not an empty thing. It was full of faith towards God that she was doing this. Is that right? Okay. All right, let's look at this other one. Remember, there's a Gentile woman, and just a side note, two of these examples are actually people that were not religious at all. They're Gentiles, okay? So this is a Gentile woman that has a child that's demon-possessed. Now, Jesus in his ministry, he ministered to all kinds of different people, but in this moment, I think he had an understanding of this woman herself, but he was denying her ministry. He said, I'm not going to minister to you. You're not a child of my people. You're not a Hebrew daughter. And she said, well, don't the dogs get to eat the scraps off the table? And he said, oh, man, I'm going to praise you Because what I hear coming out of you is faith. You believe in something bigger than a status in a community. You believe in a God that will supply somebody that seeks them.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Let's see. This is a pretty long story. Read the whole thing. Let's see. I'll just go to the last verse of this one too, okay? It says, verse 28. Dear woman, so Jesus, he goes ahead and delivers this child from a demon because of her. And then he says this though. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. So what came with that praise of her? Deliverance. Amen? This is why it's important to get on, to have a passion for God's praise of us. Amen? For her, it looked like a delivered child. It was important that she got the praise of Jesus. And how did she do it? She got it through faith. All right? Let's look at another one. Are you good? Remember, this was a prostitute, or she had been a prostitute. She had been a demon-possessed prostitute. And Jesus, it was right before he's going to go to the cross. And what does she do? She takes out this box of ointment that is priceless, and she anoints him. Man, this is really precious because she's preparing him for burial. And she was getting ridiculed by all the disciples, right? They're saying, we could have sold this and we could have, right? Doesn't make any natural sense. But what was she doing? She was pouring out a treasure of her heart to care for the one who had delivered her. There was belief in who he was that allowed her to give up something very precious herself, right? And what did it do? Let's look. I'm going to just read this whole thing. She had done what she could and has anointed my body. This is Jesus talking. She had poured this out. She's getting ridiculed. They should have done something else. For burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth. This is really precious. This is God's kind of praise. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's what? Deed. Faith always has a deed. It always has something you're doing. Otherwise, it's dead. There is no life without a doing. Amen? And will be remembered and discussed. What was it? What had happened? This person got praise from Jesus. Said forever she will be a subject of praise. Is that right? Okay, one more. Remember this, there was a Roman officer that had, I believe it was a servant that was sick. And he said, Jesus said, I'll come. And he said, don't bother to come. You just say it. I'm a man under authority. When I say something, it gets done. So I know that if you say it, it will get done. Is that right?
Yeah.
You don't even need to come here. You don't need to do anything else. Read the whole passage there. Let me go see where to start. Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, so the man had said, when you say things get done, they get done. All you have to do is say it. And Jesus replies to him. He says, he was amazed. Jesus was amazed. He marveled. Wouldn't it be cool to get God to marvel at you? You know, right? He was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Isn't this amazing? You know, this kind of goes to, remember the passage that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? But then that passage goes on to say, yet they heard, the ones that heard it all didn't do anything with it. So it didn't do them any good. So faith just come, hearing a bunch of stuff about God does nothing until you do something. There has to be some action. Is that right? He said, I haven't. Of all the religious people I've seen in all of Israel, this Roman officer has displayed more faith. Accolades, accolades, accolades. Right? Jesus is praising him, isn't he? Right? And what for? It's for faith, right? And I tell you, this is really interesting. He says, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles, he's talking about a Gentile, right, will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I think he'd put that in there just to make all the religious people mad. Right? Because God is not impressed by status, by position. You know, we've been reading about Jacob, and I didn't notice this, but he was into messing standards up, expectations up, right? He got in front of his brother in the first place. He stole his birthright, is that right? But man, I just saw this. I just confess that when he went to bless his sons right before he passed away, he didn't bless his firstborn. He didn't bless Reuben. He blessed Joseph. And then he took Joseph's first two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And he said, these are going to be just like my own sons. He's just messing everything up. Right? Because God's not interested in traditions. He's interested in Gentiles. Thank goodness. Aren't you glad? And he welcomes us in. But he welcomes us into the same requirements of faith. And we don't get something just because we're entitled to it. Right. Even coming to him, we have to receive him as Lord. Yeah. But what does that mean? What does a Lord do? They tell you to do stuff. Is that right? And if they're your Lord, you do it. Yeah. Is that right? All right. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. So the common denominator in that wasn't now the lady with the ointment, that was called a deed, wasn't it? She broke that and anointed Jesus with that. It was something she did, but it was not a work. It wasn't something to acquire something. It was a pouring out of her to him. It was an act of worship, wasn't it? Right? So, let's look at 11:6. So, if we're going to please God, it's going to require faith. Not a whole bunch of deeds that we do to fill up a checklist. Even working for the church, I mean, it can become a drudgery, you know, if the heart isn't in the right place. If you're doing it to try to become something, no, what Christ does is say, you've already become it. Now this is what you do because you have. Amen? So Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. So just quit trying. It's not what you can do. It's not what you can come up with yourself. It's got to be faith. And what, let's just kind of define faith a little bit. Faith is something that you can't do. Is that right? You can't accomplish the end result, but he gives you something that you can do that he does something with. Does that make sense? Right? He says, speak. Yeah, but I mean, there's a sickness there. Well, speak to it. Can you speak? Yeah, but I'll be lying. Just speak. Is that right? He gives us something we can do. He says, now I need you to step into what doesn't seem like it's going to do it, because it won't without me. Faith requires God. Is that right? It's going to be something you can't do yourself. Only he can do. Amen? Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. And then what does he do also? He rewards those who sincerely seek him. What is the reward? And I'd like to make it look like his praise. When God rewards, it's a result of a seeking. It's his praise. He says, yes, they've done it. They've done what I've a purpose for them in Christ. Now they get the result of that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay, let's keep going here. Titus 2:11 really kind of outlines this. This is really an amazing passage because it talks about grace, the grace for salvation. Aren't you grateful? We just need to stop and sing Amazing Grace, don't we? Right? It's so powerful what it's done for us. But look at what Titus talks about here. It talks about the heart of God in the grace of salvation. It wasn't just to rescue us and tell us we're okay the way we are. There's a whole bunch that happens with that same grace. Let's read this. Are you excited about, man, I'm just really excited about this. All right. All right. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Isn't this wonderful? It's available to everybody. Well, why doesn't everybody just get it? Something has to be done in response to it. Is that right?
Yeah.
It teaches us to say no. Huh. It teaches us to say no. So if there's good things that can be done through us that get praise from God, then their inhibitors are going to be things that we do that shut down the favor of God. Is that right? He's not pleased with some things. Right? I'm not going to go into detail about what all those things are. We are all tempted. We are all tempted to have a nasty attitude. And there's some doorway temptations that will take you very deep into some other things. Amen? Not amen. Just don't say amen to that. But let's keep reading here, okay? But this grace comes along, this grace of salvation. What is it doing? Because if we just stay in doing the things that the world does, our salvation is accomplishing nothing. Is that right? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, real quick. How many have had a really good teacher in your life before? I remember kicking Mrs. Bowder in third grade. She was a good teacher, but I wasn't a very good student. Huh? Mrs. Flat, she would come around and wrap you on the fingers with a ruler back when you could do that sort of thing. right? But what is the value of a good teacher if you don't ever do what they tell you to do? I was a really good guitar teacher, and I had so many students that didn't learn a thing. Right? Why? Because they didn't do what I told them to do. Is that right? Man, I told them exactly how to learn to play the guitar. And they came back the next week because they never did anything I told them to do. And they were just, their parents were just wasting money on them. You know what I mean? So grace comes to teach us, but it does exactly nothing for us unless we respond. Unless there's self-control that begins to take place. What is self-control? That's not saying, I can't help it. It's like, what was that comedian said? The devil made me do it? You know, it's I can't help it. It's just who I am. No, grace comes along to be another entity in our life that says, no, you can. You can resist that. You can be self-controlled. You can live godly. And this should be something that we care about because our heart's been transformed and we actually care about what God thinks now. And we want to please Him. Amen? All right, where was I? Teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. You know, this is a big part, I believe, of this heart change that we've been given. This world is no longer our home. We're just passing through here now. And when you have a hope, when there's a blessed hope, when there's that means it's going to occupy your consciousness continually, your motives for what you're doing. Is that right? And it says, while we wait, we're being taught. There's a hope that's set before us that causes what we're being taught to be done and not just heard. Is that right? While we wait for the blessed hope, what is the blessed hope? Listen to this. This is really good. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's actually going to do this. He's going to show up. And He's going to say, but I invested so much in you. That should be a consideration. We should care about that, right? All right. Now listen, this last part is so critical. He says, who gave himself for us, and what was the purpose of him giving himself for us? To redeem us from all wickedness, but not to just redeem us from wickedness, to do what? To purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do. Huh. So Jesus came to redeem us from wickedness, but the greatest purpose of what he redeemed us for was to do. Isn't that cool? He cares about what we're doing. To do what is good. Man, there's so much there that God will impart to us. I mean, there will be serving people. There will be caring for people. There will be those things. But it's all going to come from a heart of passion for God. Amen? Can we be encouraged in this today? Yeah, it's really my heart to let us see that there's, God wants to, when we get to those pearly gates, to say, well done. Accolades. What is well done? You did something, yeah. Right? You don't get a well done for not doing anything. You only get it for what you've done. Is that right? It's going to look like faith. All right, let's keep going here. Romans 8:8. You can't please, if controlled by sinful nature. Here's just a side note real quick. So I mentioned this, but it's impossible if you said, Jesus, be my Lord, and now you're letting your sinful nature be your Lord, for you to please God. It just can't happen. That's why, not condemnation, not you're going to hell, but you're missing out. You're missing out on being able to please God, and it's not on you. You have the same grace that saved you is teaching you right now. If you can just respond to it. Is that right? That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. You just can't do it. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Don't you like that? Can you say that? I am not controlled by my sinful nature. There's a nature there that's sinful, but I'm not controlled by it. Amen? That means I'm going to be tempted. There's going to be reasons for me to give in to something, but that's not what I'm controlled by, because I have a relationship with Almighty God who His grace is teaching me, and He's a good instructor to me because I respond to what He tells me. Is that right? And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ, wait a second, let me go back. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. You know, Jesus said, and the Spirit of truth will come to abide on the inside of you, and He will guide you into all truth. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. When we receive Jesus as Lord, we receive His Spirit as the instructor. Yeah. He's the teacher. Amen? We can listen to Him. Remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So if you've ever made Him your Lord, you're not off the hook. You don't, because He's there now. Amen? He's living on the inside. Okay. Romans 14. Just going to reiterate this real quick. This is not something that you're doing out of works, it's out of your heart. This is a really precious passage. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. What is that? That was the law, wasn't it? What you eat or drink. But of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. Wouldn't that be nice? I like the passage where it says, and Jesus grew in favor with God and man, right? When you begin to get the praises of God, when you begin to respond to that grace direction and how to live godly and right, it will not cause praises from God alone. It will cause an atmosphere of praise. Amen? People will actually like you as well, right? I've got one more passage here, and this is really precious. Kind of gets the heart of this for us. And I thought maybe we could just, this is the first Sunday of the month, maybe we can partake of communion when we get done with this, because this should really be a heart thing that we have this morning. Amen? This should be an opportunity for us to say, God, what you did for me, I'm partaking of today. I don't want the investment that you made in me to pass me by. Amen. And for me to think that it's just some kind of wishy-washy grace that I have in you. It's an enabling grace for doing, for looking like you. Amen? Let's look at 1 Peter 1:17. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. Aren't you grateful for that? Man, I like thinking about this whenever we pray. How many like to pray? Talk to God. I'm thinking, wow, this is really cool, man. This is the same God that Enoch walked with and was not. This is the same God that David wrote songs about in the pasture. Amen? This is the same God that knocked Paul off the horse, right? And he does not show favorites. He loves me. He cares about me. The same grace that provided salvation for anybody is mine right now. The only thing that changes is what I do with it. The only thing that changes is how I honor it, how I respond to it. Amen? He will judge or reward. That means there's consequences either side, isn't there? You don't get by in the middle. You don't just get to slide by. There's either going to be a judgment or there's going to be a reward. Is that right? You, according to what you do. There's a doing that's required. So you must live in reverence, in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residence. Don't you like that? Man, let's just take a moment. Can we just do this right now and just realize that the Almighty God, the Holy One, amen? He's not to be ignored. He's to be reverenced. He's to be adored. Not just in these moments when we come together. Man, he becomes our constant presence. Our constant awareness. What he thinks about what we're doing at this moment is critical. Every choice we make, he's watching. It's either a faith move or it's a flesh move. It's either going to get his praise or it'll watch out for nothing. Oh, Lord, we want to honor you in this moment. We want to reverence you. We want you to be our heart's passion today. We want to care about what we're doing, that it pleases you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that the outlines of that, what it's going to look like, doesn't have to be defined by somebody else. Your spirit in our hearts will guide us. There's a law written in our hearts by your spirit, Lord God, that will begin to direct our every moment if we can only give you the consideration and the acknowledging that you deserve. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, as best we can. We have so far to go, but Lord, as best we can. Lord, we just lift our hearts up before you right now, and we honor you in this place. Hallelujah. 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 We give you glory, Lord God. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. God made an investment in us, didn't he? And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom. Listen to this. This is really interesting. He didn't wait for us to come along. He chose Christ way before in preparation. This is how greatly God honors, how greatly God prepares, how greatly God loves. He loved us in Christ. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. This kind of goes back to Titus. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation. He's been there. He's for us here today. Amen. And it's what we do with him. Our every moment becomes critical. God cares about it. He's invested in it. It's not a small thing. Whether we choose to walk in faith, whether we choose to believe God or not, it's not a small thing. Especially when we get revelation of what God's will is with regard to something. What we do at that point becomes very critical. We're either slapping God in the face and saying, I don't really believe you or not, right? Or we're saying, God, I trust in you. Yeah. I believe in you. And I'm going to act like it. I'm going to speak.